Carumcast.com.
It's not Carumcast.
And welcome to the very first episode, which is going to be about things that I write in my different blogs. The Culture Pin, which is about the future of tech.
And rock and roll.
And rock and roll. And Music Zeitgeist, which is where we profile independent artists and their new releases. And
all coming to you live from the Chemical Light Factory.
That's right. I have my guest Amy with me today.
What?
And so yeah, this first episode is essentially a way for us to figure out what you would like to hear more about as we go through various topics. We're just going to, I don't know, discuss some of the things that we've been checking out lately anyways. We just got back from the Toronto Film Festival.
Which was great.
What'd you like about it?
I liked standing in line.
You did?
The lines were really long and there was a lot of interesting people. But I liked the number of different types of movies you could see. You could see documentaries one day about swingers, and then a documentary the next day about Dungeons and Dragons.
That was your first festival?
That was my very first.
I love it. I've been going as long as I can remember, and it's never the same. Every year that I've gone has been a completely unique experience.
What was your favorite memorable year that you can remember?
Well, there was the time when I ran into, as I sat on the Culture Pin blog, there was a time when I ran into Paul Haggis in the back VIP room of this big Vanity Fair party or whatever, where my friend worked, and he got us in. And Paul Haggis had just put out Crash. I think it premiered at the festival that year. And I had no idea who he was, and I spent more time talking to this author, J.T. LeRoy, who ended up not being J.T. LeRoy, but being the woman who was actually impersonating J.T. LeRoy, but going around and saying that she was. That was a pretty strange year.
And she was a VVIP?
Yeah, well, she was a big... J.T. LeRoy was a big deal.
Is until, that very, very?
Yeah, very, very, very.
What do they put in a room for very, verys?
Well, the further into the V's you go, the less there really is going on. I think the craziest party is usually out in the big main room, and then as you get down to, you know, little bowls of olives on toothpicks and the Moet, it starts to get progressively thinned out. And then I think somewhere at the end of that tunnel, there's like Donald Trump sitting in a room with P. Diddy, and they're just staring at each other playing chess or something.
And Donald's hair.
Yeah, Donald's hair's on a separate couch. It's got a place for itself.
I love it.
It's so VIP that it's got its own room that not even Donald can get into.
Well, that's great. I didn't experience the VV much of V's.
No, I was with Amy at the festival this year.
Yeah.
We sort of came at it as public, general public, the GP.
I kind of like that better. I think you get more out of the festival.
I think you get more too if you don't elect to be lazy and do the rush lines.
Yeah.
Which is nothing lazy about that, but you know, standing in lines not knowing whether you're going to get in or not for an hour for every film you want to see can get pretty exhausting.
And I think it's more exciting to be able to get there a couple days early and pick out your movies.
Yeah.
And see if you get your choices. And
so we bought like a 10 film pass in advance. Right? And that gave and so I never could figure out how that worked, but this year I wrote about this on the Culture Pin about the way it actually works is you buy just generic passes, and then you get a booklet, and you have to guess at this point because none of the reviews have come out. I mean, some of these movies aren't even finished yet.
And you get a yellow and green highlighter, which is very important.
Yeah, and then you pick your films that you'd like to see as your first choices and the ones you'd second like to see. And you go downtown to their main office in the middle of the crazy hustle and bustle of
a cluster F.
Yeah, the new Wannabe Times Square in Toronto at Yonge and Dundas. And then you submit this book, and then they run it through a lottery. They count up to 60, and they assign tickets to each person's first choice. And when they're finished running through that 60, if there's still tickets left, they go back around. And then you get an email telling you which of your movies that you wanted, that you actually got, and which your second choice is. And then after all that's done, like a couple of days later, they open up the public box office on the internet, and you can buy single tickets, and then it's almost impossible to get in.
I was excited we got most of our choices, our first choices, I think.
Yeah, we did really well.
Yeah. I think we had a nice array of filmage.
What was your favorite?
Detroit Metal City.
What's that?
Amazing. It's like a manga type take.
Yeah.
On it's a Japanese comedy sort of film, and it's crazy. It's about a precious little pop star wannabe. What did he say? Everything was so trendy. He wanted everything to be trendy.
Yeah.
And then he moonlights as a death metal singer in a band, and he hates it.
Yeah. And the death metal sequences were pretty awesome.
The music was great.
And the director on the Q&A said he had never even heard death metal before this film. I can't believe how right they got it.
I laughed through the whole movie, and I thought maybe I was a dork, but...
Why don't you tell our listeners about the group of people outside the theater before we got there?
Oh, there was some fans from Japan that were... They're giving peace signs and waiting for their autographs.
Yep.
And we thought they were waiting for Brad Pitt or something, right?
Well, the...
No, we thought they were waiting for Jack White.
Yeah, because the screening right before was for a new documentary by the same guy that brought us Inconvenient Truth. And it's called It Might Get Loud, and it stars... Well, it stars The Edge and Jack White and... Jimmy Page. So they were doing a Q&A right before Detroit Metal City.
Yeah.
And we thought all these girls with their cameras were waiting in anticipation for that, but they could have cared less when they all walked out. And they started screaming when this Japanese actor showed up.
I'm trying to remember the character's name in the movie. I immediately searched for him on Facebook.
Kaiser something.
Oh, yeah, it was Sir Kaiser.
Sir Kaiser.
Oh. I love it. I think the whole world should see that movie at least once.
So what were your impressions of Toronto?
People drive slower, not necessarily better than LA. People don't talk like this. And no, I really liked Toronto.
who talks like that?
Like, girls in LA have like a ball on the back of their throat. And so it was refreshing to be around articulate people and...
So
everyone's nice.
So, what's this thing about the ball in the back of the throat? Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Maybe it's like they like are really malnourished, so they don't get enough like nutrients to the back of their throat.
Do you think that it's an epidemic? Like, do you
think it's a severe epidemic.
Like, people didn't used to talk like that.
No, and it's getting it's evolving too, because now they'll talk like they'll get slower in their jaw, like just not move at all.
They sound like they're strung out.
Yeah, but they're not. And it's like a lot of effort to push out a word.
So what is that? What's the underlying... I mean, what's going on there? What do you think is up with this attitude? Is it like a surfer thing? Like, I'm too like chill?
I don't think it's a surfer thing. Because like surfers are all like, dude, yeah, bruh. Right. But no, it's mostly girls. A lot of them are secretaries or, you know... They work at front desks of agencies or places like that.
Hmm. So it's like a viral kind of thing.
Yeah, it's definitely.
And you're seeing it on TV too?
Oh, yeah.
Give me an example on TV where you're seeing that kind of thing.
Well, I don't want to be rude, but example. I don't actually watch TV, but I did discover an episode of the new 90210. Remember?
Oh, yeah. We just watched that first episode to see what was going on with it.
Yeah, I just wanted to see what it was all about. And yeah, I couldn't really get through the first 5 minutes of it because that's how they were talking.
So now this wave, like if you didn't live in Los Angeles,
right,
then you may not know that that's going on, except that it's showing. I mean, it must be showing up on, you know, TRL and
right,
whatever.
Which I guess is coming to an end.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
What's happened?
It's just over.
Just no one cares. Any, like TRL, like, or Total Request Live doesn't really matter when you've got an internet and you can decide to see whatever you want to see anyways.
And when you have Xbox.
Ah, so here we go. So the
Segway.
We're in this amazing like thing now where you know, they used to always trumpet, "Oh, we're moving into the age of the tastemaker and the people use their remote control to create their own content anyways." By the way, I get punched in the arm every time we use the word content. Because we overdosed on it at the NAB show. What are you, like the sentence finisher today?
I'm the echo.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No, it's good. So now it really is in place. I mean, now it's really annoying to have to deal with any kind of entertainment.
Well, how
in a linear form at all?
How tragically sad is it walking into Blockbuster nowadays?
Yeah,
it's like falling apart.
Yeah, the employees, they're just like, just don't even bother. Just let us die in peace.
The new releases out are still Alvin and the Chipmunks from like a month ago or a year
ago. Because I can, you know, I know that in a day I'll get anything I want from my Netflix. And that's even evolved now because now Xbox is going to have Netflix accounts linked directly.
Beautiful.
To your Xbox, which... I guess for a minute there was a question, yeah, but not everybody has an Xbox. But now the Xbox has just outsold PlayStation and Wii in Japan
and
Europe.
They're saying that they're lowering the prices to $199.
They're lowering, yeah. I mean, Microsoft knows that you want this thing to be a set-top box. So they're smart to do that. They also doubled the amount of storage space on it without raising the price. In fact, they have the price. Double the amount of storage included. But it's all because it has to be that way because they know that we're going to start just downloading everything we want. Now, the thing about the Netflix, which at first I thought, wow, the entire Netflix universe is going to be available. It's not. It's a lot of film. It's not first run, new release kind of stuff because obviously there's a certain amount of time that the studios need to make their money, their first money back. And so they have to kind of bottleneck your access to it. But there's still about 12,000-15,000 titles you can get on Netflix of, let's say, back catalog stuff. But, you know, like, I can get some pretty serious titles. It's not just B-movie junk.
Right. I think I saw My Blue Heaven on there. Great flick.
Yeah, it's one of your favorites. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. No, there's, yeah, I mean, almost anything I'd personally wanted to watch, I was able to do the watch instantly thing.
And give it 6 months and they'll upgrade the system, probably.
They're going to have that whole interface makeover. So now you're going to have an avatar that you can... Well, here's the new money sink. The new money sink is going to be dressing up your little Microsoft Xbox avatar.
I love it.
Buy all the latest clothing for it and whatever. And you think this is a great idea.
I think it's wonderful. Because I get bored on Bomberman when my little character, you know, doesn't look good.
Yeah, you spend hours, like, retooling your Bomberman character so you can go and blow stuff up.
She always has wings, though.
And then you'll have this avatar, and it'll look a little bit like you, and they're going to implement avatars into the games themselves more and more. And if you watch the E3 conferences here, they also have this... Everybody's doing their own kind of version of the Wii thing, which is not to say that they're copycatting it, but everybody knows that what people want is to be in the content. Ow. It's not enough to just program it yourself or make your own playlists. Playlists are like so five items down the playlist ago.
So like 500 BC.
Yeah. Like before there was McDonald's.
Right.
But So at E3, they have this game where, for example, you videotape yourself on the camera thing, and then it cuts you into this movie, and it plays it back and whatever. And then there's the other one, which is Lips, where you can import your own MP3s from your iPod and karaoke to whatever you want. That's kind of the way it's all going. We did see all of this years ago with software like There.com. Now Google's got Livey. This has been going on for years. I mean, this whole virtual reality thing crossing over with bringing you into it and having a virtual version of yourself walking around in whatever environment. But now it's not just fringe technology that you see at a science center or at the Epcot Center or at a trade show. Now it's right here. It's right now. This fall of 2008, all of this stuff is on the set-top consoles. It's happened.
It's the answer to global warming.
And then Neal Stephenson, who wrote Snow Crash and talks about where we are right now, and talks about Los Angeles as this place where you have burbclaves, meaning every neighborhood is, every sort of ethnic group has its own neighborhood that's guarded and shielded. You've got the mafia block and you've got the triad block and whatever. And so people kind of hate the outside world and they all live in this virtual place called the metaverse. And so anyways, that was, what, now almost 20 years ago he wrote that, and we're starting to realize it more and more. But he just came out with a new book that is about some planet where things have evolved and it's 5,000 years later, and it's just another one of his 1,000-page massive cerebral treatise on things that it'll probably take us another 20 years to figure out what the hell he's talking about. I remember when we went to go see Detroit Metal City, there was a couple of guys behind us and they were holding a copy of Snow Crash. And I thought, wow, a little late on that one. But hey, it's always, there's always time.
They brought it to the movie to get it signed or something?
No. They were just reading it. But it reminded me of good old Neal Stephenson. And then Wired magazine this month talks about Neal Stephenson and these massive volumes that he writes. I mean, every time this guy puts out a book, it's minimum 1,000 pages, and they're like comprehensive explorations into whatever subject he's interested in at the time.
Not to trail back on the subject, but I think everyone should watch that little clip of the movie game that they're coming out with those people trying it. Because it's funny.
Oh, all those E3.
Because there's like corporate people. It's like woman dancing.
Yeah, they all look like so uncomfortable.
And she's in her business suit.
All those YouTube videos that came from E3 this year, from all of them, from Xbox, from Wii, everybody just looks so dorky and uncomfortable.
Even the rock band thing.
Oh, man.
Remember that?
It's terrible. Why don't they just get people who
play it, like cool
who are
people.
Actually just, you know, not someone at the office who's kind of volunteered to go up on stage
and get out of work for a day.
And look so not happy, so awkward.
So what do you think about this Google phone coming out for T-Mobile exclusively?
Well, I don't like to make actual predictions. I just sort of like to comment on things.
Comment. I need to know your advice. Because
people may not yet be aware of, but I'll say this.
I rushed and pre-ordered it.
You did?
Yeah, but if I don't want it when it gets here, I don't have to pay for it.
I think it's got all the potential to be the iPhone killer because I'm frankly so sick of the way Apple does things.
That's why I kind of wanted to buy it, because I'm sick of Apple and I wanted to be the iPod killer.
I mean, so Steve Jobs has this idea, of course, that we all know about, where you keep everything super secret, super under wraps, super controlled, and then you essentially can steer people in the direction that you want, but in exchange for all of that restriction, you get a certain kind of quality assurance because everything is designed to work together and so on and so forth in an ideal world. But of course, not everybody uses everything Apple, and people use iTunes on PCs and whatever. So that's what we get. Now, Google's philosophy is the opposite. They say, forget being tied to an OS, forget being tied to a certain kind of computer system, and forget being tied to your phone's browser. Make it open source, let everybody develop for it, and get your revenue through AdSense.
Can you
micro push ads?
Can you just describe to our listeners what open source means in case someone doesn't know? I mean, maybe that sounds silly, but
No. I mean, open source, let's say, is something that is available. Usually the code, the underlying code, that's what it means. It's the source code is available. It's open to the public instead of being under license by some kind of owner.
So the applications will be free?
They may or may not be. Yeah, the spirit of open source is that anybody can contribute, build, improve, comment, take apart, rebuild, It's a giant sort of collaborative effort, and everybody volunteers, kind of like Wikipedia is a kind of open source encyclopedia. But you still have people who come in and they moderate it, and they try to keep it nice and clean. And
is Facebook an open source?
No, it's most definitely not open source.
So
but
that's the not.
But they do have, they do give out certain development kits so that people can create applications that would run within Facebook.
Right.
And that's the Ajax apps. So the Google phone is right around the corner. I'm not sure when everybody will be hearing this podcast in their personal timeline, but big news. I think it's going to revolutionize a lot of things. It'll be interesting to see how people start hacking these Google phones. And well, I mean, what we're talking about, there's the Google phone as hardware, and then there's also Android. That's the open source platform upon which their phone will run. And they'd like to see everybody implement Android as the default browser for all phones, for all of these web-ready phones.
Yeah.
Google's a big deal. Whether they're good or evil in the end remains to be seen, but, you know, hey, there was a time when everybody thought Microsoft was the ultimate evil, and frankly, after you watch Bill Gates be as altruistic as he's been, it's easy to demonize this one guy. That's a company that's taken a lot of risks. You know, I'm not going to sit here and champion them or not, but the attitude towards Microsoft right now is not as hostile as it may have once been. This is even after the disaster that Vista was. No one's going to leave, really, Microsoft. They're just going to wait for the next version of their operating system to come out. And Google now has got a lot of power, an awful lot. And they just, not only did they start talking about this new phone coming out right now, but they just also launched their new web browser, Chrome, which I just immediately jumped onto and started to use. And it's very streamlined. It makes a lot of sense. Firefox from Mozilla was a good middle step between something as awful as Explorer.
So you don't use Firefox anymore?
No, I just use Chrome.
Why didn't I get the memo?
I don't even know if Chrome runs on a Mac. I'm assuming it has to. Mac people still love Safari the best.
I hate it.
Yeah? Why don't you like it?
Because nothing works on it. I haven't... Okay. I used to be not addicted to MySpace, but I would go on all the time. Haven't been on in probably 6 months except from my phone because I can't log on to it. It says, sorry, fatal exception or whatever. Really? On Safari and Mozilla.
MySpace?
Yeah.
That's weird.
The only thing that works is Facebook.
Well,
it could just be my...
I mean, the other thing about here's the thing about Facebook. It doesn't matter if you really like Facebook or the people that are on Facebook or whether the new Facebook is better than the old Facebook. The reason I originally joined Facebook was because a very tech-heady friend of mine said, you got to get on there and see just how they've decided to go about things. And then another longtime programmer friend of mine copied or echoed that statement. So I went on and checked it out. And the thing about Facebook is that it's all designed. I mean, MySpace was groundbreaking in terms of, and when you compare it to Friendster, because MySpace said, hey, you can design the page however you want.
I just did it because of music. You can market things on it.
Sure. So but I mean, the thing was that at the beginning, really what it was that you could tear it apart and make it really your own.
Yeah.
Which was amazing. How can they support all of these pages and each one runs in its own way? Then Facebook came around. Well, Facebook was there, but the popularity of it, there's a kind of a robustness to Facebook, and it's because these apps are all written in Ajax. They're these modular little things, and you add apps and you add apps, and these apps can tap into certain information, and they can sort of, they're very powerful on their own as well. MySpace is now copying that and trying to implement these apps, but the problem that now they're facing, ironically, is that because you can change the layout of a MySpace page so radically, it's very difficult to focus any sort of attention to anything that you particularly want. And that was always the problem with MySpace in terms of advertising, was because people can do the layout in whatever way they want, it's very difficult to know how to advertise. Mm. Whereas Facebook, it's always going to sort of look one way. So if you have a little side panel that are targeted just you and your demographic, you're going to see the ad. But mostly it's those little Ajax apps that make Facebook radically different than MySpace in terms of the ground floor philosophy.
I never noticed the ads until you started making your blogs and saying there's ads on it. It never struck me, but I would click on these things, but I would never realize I was doing it. It's funny. I'm more aware of it now.
Well, I mean, yeah, when you do create a blog and you have your little ads placed everywhere, you want a certain amount of transparency. They're not evil ads. I mean, again,
no,
AdSense is the little thing that built the Google empire, but those things are pretty niche-y. I mean, those ads are targeted at something that's very, very specific to what you're reading. And some of the businesses behind them are, it could be the mom and pop hardware store next to your house. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally the next address over. And you and 15 other people may ever see that ad. It'll be interesting to see how that works when, you know, you've got Android running on your new Google phone. And I wonder, well, Bluetooth is not the big thing it was hyped up to be, but somewhere in all of this, you'll be walking down the street with your GPS on, and the guy inside that hardware store will know that you're walking by because you have this or that preference, and he'll be like, let's give that girl a free bag of bolts, and all of a sudden your phone will pop up with a 5 cents off your next bag of bolts ad.
That's,
and
you like can go stalking.
In. Well, they'll figure out a way to do it.
Oh. Well, I can return it after 15 days, so I'll try it out. We'll do a review on it. We'll let the listeners know.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
So I'd like to hear from everybody who's heard this, and feel free to email me at info@karamcast.com. Let me know what you thought of this episode, if there's any subjects in it that you'd like to talk about more.
Don't forget to check out the websites, too.
You can check out theculturepin.com, musiczeitgeist.com, and my own music site, which is karamsongs.com, where you can download lots of songs and check out videos and get news. And there's a long list of links to all of these different places on that page. And thanks, Amy, for doing this with me.
Thanks.
I'm sure this is going to get a lot better as we go.
Yeah.
So you guys can tear it apart and give me your feedback and your
anything
ideas.
Anything you want to talk about.
Yeah. And we'll get on the mark.
On the ball.
We'll get rolling on the ball.
Just don't say content.